Thank you, Curtis, for doing that and sharing. And thank you for each of you that have shared. And you could have just kept on a little bit longer and would have been fine with me. But I always enjoy that, and I like when I hear from the audience, because really, you're the church, and it's from the things that affect you and concern you, concern all of us. And it just does my heart good to hear what you share and the things that, and in praising God and thanking Him for His answers to prayer and all. And a topic that I was going to talk on, I kept wrestling with. It's like, it's a dismal topic, really. And it's like, it just doesn't quite fit the program this morning. And so I'm not going to share that because it would sure take more than 2 minutes. So we're going to change gears. And I was going to speak out of Daniel 5. I've been reading in some of my readings, been in the book of Daniel recently. And I love that, I guess, Daniel, his character and his lifestyle and the way he conducted himself and the way God used him. It's always encouraging to read and hear about Daniel. I was going to talk out of chapter 5 of Daniel, and that talks about Belshazzar. And that's not a very glamorous story, really. I was going to talk about sin and so on. But I'm just going to refer a little bit to the book of Daniel for a few minutes. So, again, he's very familiar. It's the stories that we have heard for many, many times, for years, most of us. And it's, like I said, it's very encouraging to see how that God used Daniel and his friends, the things that they experienced and faced, and yet the way they stood up to the test. And they passed the test with flying colors. And so the question always comes to me is, how would I respond? What would I be like if I was under the pressure that they were under? And here, these young fellows, going back to the first chapter, the starting of Daniel, these young fellows and many more, it doesn't say the number, but there were a bunch of people that when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, when he besieged Jerusalem, he took a lot of captives and he took them, some of them, back to Babylon. And Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, were a part of that. And those are the ones that are named. Those are the ones that stand out among the those that were captive. And how that God used them. And I thought about what made them so successful. What made them, what gave them the stability that they needed to stand the test of time. Their lives were at stake in each of these instances. They were going to be killed. I think the first one was if they Nebuchadnezzar had a dream and no one of his wise men, sorcerers, all those magicians, no one could interpret it because he couldn't even tell them what the dream was. And so they said, well, how can we tell you if you don't tell us? And so it came to Daniel. Anyway, all the people of that caliber were going to be killed unless somebody told the king his dream. And word got to Daniel. And he went to his friends and he said, pray with me, join with me, because our lives are at stake. Help me so that we could, that God would interpret the dream so that we can tell the king. And that's what happened. So again, thinking these were young people, they, you know, I've heard different ages. They could have been 12, they could have been 14, somewhere in that age, maybe 16. That's the age of some of you here. So how would you feel if you were taking, somebody came and took you, and this is America, where would they take you? To Canada, maybe to Mexico, somewhere, but somewhere you've never been, with people you have never been with. to a lifestyle that you are not familiar with, and to a country where they didn't serve the God that you served. I can imagine when I was that age, I probably wouldn't have fared well. I wouldn't have been one of these, I don't suppose, that would have stood out above all the rest. But anyway, I believe they had some teaching from their youth, from their parents, that helped them. They were convinced. There was no doubt in their mind. When they answered the king about being thrown into the furnace of fire, there was not even a hesitation. They said, "We don't know, O king, if God's going to save us or not, but we know he's able, and he will, if that's his will." And we know the story, what happened. Later, on another account, again a dream, and Daniel told the king the dream. And let me get my bearings here. Yes, Daniel told the king the dream. He explained it to him, and so on. And so the king again set Daniel up in a high place, gave him a lot of authority, and so on. And so he was above a lot of these his companions that were also governors and so on, but Daniel was above them. And so there was jealousy involved in that. And so they came back and they made the king, had the king decree, a decree that anyone that did not, I might be getting mixed up here with the other. Let me see here. Was at the time that anyone that would pray to any other god besides Nebuchadnezzar, they would be thrown in the den of lions, yes. And so Daniel went about his business as usual. He went to his room. He faced toward Jerusalem. And I think it says his windows were open. And so his conspirators were out there, probably heard him pray. They went back and, you know, how unhandy it is to have tattletales and have people that are